Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UALR's College of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio. The second annual Arkansas Sounds Music Festival is guaranteed to fill downtown Little Rock with people, music, and general celebration of all the varieties of styles and genre associated with the music and sounds of Arkansas. Last year, the first was such a success that an annual fixture for the last Friday and Saturday of September has been declared. John Miller is director of Arkansas Sounds, part of the Central Arkansas Library System Butler Center Specialities. Who knew what a library could create other than a haven to read books? And John and Leanne Blackwell of the CAL's public relations staff are my guests. John's enthusiasm for the project clearly knows no bounds, and from him we hear how it all started.
I had always sort of had this desire and want to see something like this happen in Arkansas, and I'm sure I'm not the first, but it was always something that I always really was hoping would happen. And apparently at the exact same time, over a much maybe longer period of time, Bobby Roberts, who is the director of CALS, the Central Arkansas Library System, also wanted to do a music festival. And so that idea had sort of brewed within his mind and I think a couple of other people's minds. And then in 2012, the next thing I know, there's a job that opens up, and I applied, and I got it, and it was sort of a dream come true for me, and I think a dream come true for a lot of Arkansas musicians who believe so much in what we have here in Arkansas and want to see that sort of celebrated and also recognized. Most of the events this year and last year are confined to the CALS campus, so a lot of the youth programming events on Saturday. We have three different youth programming events on Saturday, September 28th. Also on Monday, we've got some programming in Dara Center as well.
The Monday after the weekend?
No, actually the week of. The Songwriter Showcase will be Monday, September 23rd at 6 o'clock in the Dara Center, where we showcase different local songwriters. And then on Tuesday, the 24th at 7 p.m. at Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, we're going to have an Arkansas salute to Clark Terry, the legendary trumpet player who now lives in Pine Bluff. On the Thursday, a person that I believe that you know fairly well, Tav Falco, is going to have a book reading. This is in conjunction with the Arkansas Literary Festival. That's Thursday, September 26th at the Dara Center at 6 p.m. And he'll be doing a book reading from his Mondo Memphis book.
And so you've got so many different strings to your bow, as it were.
Indeed.
How was it constructed? Did you have plans in your mind on how to do this? And I want to bring in Leanne, because I don't really know where you fit in this. What is your role in this, Leanne?
My role is mainly helping John to promote the festival in any way that we can through our website, www.arkansasounds.org, our Facebook pages, and our Twitter handle. But I do not assist John in picking those acts.
But the actual venues, do you and Susan have the responsibility of locating where you can play these after you've heard from John, or after the committee, whoever it is who puts the show together, needs the spaces? Then it's up to a different department at CALS to help put that together.
Correct. We assist John in helping finding proper venues.
And they're also very integral in helping with the logistics of the whole music festival and all of the different Arkansas Sounds events that we have.
And Arkansas Sounds is more than just songs. There are so many aspects of sound in this state that I was interested to learn more about the history, whether the music was obviously the lead sound that you would be working with, but what other sounds did you think had to be brought in? The bird song, the number of people who made other sounds with musical instruments and various things that have become peculiar, as you might say, to Arkansas?
Well, there we have an archive, a collection of some of those recordings actually there in the Butler Center and in ASI, the Arkansas Studies Institute. And we are developing a portal where someone can come in, the Arkansas Sounds AV Center, Media Center, where people can come in and listen to different quirky songs, different songs like that. We've got folks that have recorded their own banjo music, just a one-time thing. We've got all kinds of different stuff with our collection. We have the Bob Ketchum collection, which is master tapes from 1965 through the 90s. We also have the Acoustic Sounds Cafe, which was actually the radio show was broadcast here on KUAR. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Joe Henry, we have the entire Acoustic Sounds Cafe archive. He recorded everything, had just an amazing amount of information to give us. So we encourage people to give us collections and submit things. One of the things that we try to do also is include some of those native instruments to Arkansas, some of the quirkier things. We try to include those. And as we go forward, we're going to do that even more so. We're soon to be completing our theater. We'll be able to program some different things that may not work on a bigger stage, say the First Security Amphitheater, maybe something that's smaller and more acoustic in nature. We'll have programming like that in the future as well in the theater.
Well, I was fascinated to see in the Butler Banner the number of people who you found had things that you could use.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't realized how many different areas you were plumbing for the depths of music you could find or sounds you could find.
Well, and that's the thing. The Butler Center is the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. And when we kind of look at the Butler Center as sort of a branch of CALS, and it's sort of the Arkansas history branch of CALS. And we look at Arkansas music in a historical sense as well as a celebratory sense. We look at what's current now, but also what has happened before, because that not only sort of influences you, but that's also, it ties your present to your future, if you will. And so one of the things that we try to do is make all of that available.
Yeah.
And we're definitely looking for anything that people have that's music oriented particularly. I'm very interested in hearing from someone if they have something that they think is Arkansas oriented, that's music oriented, that we would be
yeah.
interested in. We'd love to hear from them.
Were you somewhat taken aback, you and others of a team that you pulled together when all this finally came to be something that you were going to do, at how much there was to research mm-hmm. and how much was retrievable?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's amazing that some folks like Joe Henry, who have worked on something or done something, they don't necessarily, they're not really looking for any sort of accolades for themselves. They just want to preserve this. They know that it's historical. They know it's important and that it shouldn't just be thrown away. And I love those kinds of people. I worked in I've been around records at a used record store for quite a long time, so I felt like I was sort of saving history. That was part of my job. And this is sort of the same thing. We're kind of trying to save history before it ends yeah. up in the dumpster, because so many of these things that we have, some of these Arkansas 45 that people will be able to come into the ASI and listen to, these are one of a kind. There's mm-hmm. only one of these that exist. You know, we have acetates from some guy that was in a band in 1965 that hung on to it and suddenly give it, and we treat that like it's worth its weight in gold because
okay.
it's so, so valuable.
What about the quality of stuff that was recorded on cassette? Because that was the main thing that people would have mm-hmm. running for them. And they deteriorate so quickly, those.
They do. A lot of that stuff on cassette has already been transferred. A lot of times when we get things, it's notated that it's originally from a cassette. And when a lot of times when people record it onto a CD, sometimes they try to do some noise reduction, sometimes not so much. But if we can get it in a digital form, it's a little bit easier. But there's always that risk of, you know, if you've got cassettes out there, those need to be looked at yeah. Pretty quickly, as well as LPs and albums and vinyl records. Those should definitely be out of the heat, out of that horrible Arkansas heat, because it will really mess your
yeah.
records and tapes up for sure.
What about some of the musicians who are still? I was thinking of Violet Hemsley, and I've got the CD that went out when she was the treasurer with her mm-hmm. playing the various things. And I just thought there must be so many others.
Oh, there is. I would love to be able to present hundreds of things, and there are hundreds of things that you could present. It's just that in doing that, it makes things so you need to sort of have more of a focus. And that's sort of what we learned last year. We did a number of more events last year than we're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we tried to do this year is rein that in a little bit and focus a little bit more. Even with the music festival, for instance, we have fewer slots than we did last year, but each band is playing longer. They're mm-hmm. getting a longer set to sort of make their statement.
And when you do that, then you have the difficulty of deciding which bands will be focused on this year.
Of course, yes. And that all changes also from a number of things as far as what bands are available during that time. You know, a touring band or a working band cannot totally reroute their entire schedule around one gig in Little Rock.
Once you've got the date set, do you let the word go out as soon as possible?
Correct. And the date is pretty much set. Like I said, we've kind of institutionalized that last weekend in September. Those dates will change from year to year, but it is the last weekend. Now, we also have other programming events. So just because somebody does not necessarily get on the festival does not exclude them from other programming opportunities that we may do, other concerts or the songwriting showcase, for instance. But what we try to do is if you've played the festival, we try to keep you from playing the festival for probably the next 4 or 5 years, just to sort of open it up for as many people as possible. Because like you said, there's so many artists and so many different people to choose from. The great thing about the music festival, there are two qualifiers to play the music festival. One, we want you to do your own original material. So every band is going to be doing their own original material. And then two, you have to either be from Arkansas or have some strong Arkansas connection. So if you're not from here, then you need to have lived here for the last 20 or 30 years or have chosen to live here for a period of time. Or have some strong Arkansas connection. But most everyone is from Arkansas. Everyone is playing their own music and very happy to do so. And that's what the whole thrust of what the music festival is all about.
And there are so many levels of quality, of instrumentation, of numbers in the band, and everything mm-hmm. that you have to accommodate in terms of where they'll be playing and when.
Oh, exactly. We have everything from folk music to blues to jazz to rock and roll. This year, for instance, we have Dan Hicks, who's our headliner on Friday, who was born in Little Rock. Most people don't realize that he was born in Little Rock, and then he moved to California when he was a kid. But he's coming back, and he is thrilled to be here, and he is an amazing artist, one of the best songwriters around. Elvis Costello thinks he's written some of the best songs.
Does he play as well?
He does. He plays guitar. It would be really hard to pin him down. He plays sort of a swing-influenced music. It's a little bit of sort of country and western swing, and also sort of a Django Reinhardt influence. But he has this really wry sense of humor, great turn of phrase, and an amazing songwriter, and it's got just a crack band, just a great band. And Tav Falco will be on right before him. We've got the Smittle Band, Stephanie Smittle, a great singer. That's all on Friday, and that's at the Rivermark Pavilions, and it's free. And then on Saturday, we go everywhere from a one-man DJ, Messy Sparkles, to a full-fledged funk band with horns, the one-ounce jig, to a rapper that raps with an actual full band, and that's Big Piff and Tomorrow Maybe. And we've got
Names.
And then we've also got Mountain Sprout, a great, amazing bluegrass band from Eureka Springs. Bonnie Montgomery, who's from Searcy, a great, nationally talented artist. And then Colin Ray, who sold about 20 million records. He's from DeQueen and is an amazing country superstar. Had 16 number one hits.
So where do you go from here?
Onwards and upwards. That's it. I mean, part of the difficulty is selecting the sort of crafting this every year. But that's also, in some ways, I think, job security in a way, because there are so many different people and different aspects and facets to choose from in Arkansas music.
And Leanne, you've been sitting here listening to it.
Yes.
And are you a great fan of these sort of music? Did you grow up with it?
I am a huge fan of Arkansas music. My favorite artist is actually Levon Helm, which last year we did a wonderful tribute to him. And I am definitely looking forward to this year's festival. I'm a huge fan of Colin Ray and just can't wait to see and just have a passion for music like many Arkansans do. And
do you play anything yourself?
I'm not musically talented, but a great listener.
That was Leanne Blackwell, member of the CALS public relations staff, and John Miller, director of Arkansas Sounds at CALS and the Arkansas Sounds Music Festival. The festival takes over downtown Little Rock Friday and Saturday, September the 27th and 28th. But there are a number of programs leading into the festival starting tomorrow. Check with John Miller, 501-320-5728, or on the website www.arkansassounds.org. A roundup of some events this coming week. This afternoon at 3, the second of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's first Masterworks pair, Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 with Martina Filiak in Robinson Center Music Hall. The Arkansas Art Center Children's Theater just opened with Pinkalicious this afternoon at 2. And Pal Joey at the Rep runs through next Sunday, the 29th. It's Banned Books Week this week. Worth remembering what treasures have been banned and burned. Tuesday at 7, the first Arkansas Symphony's River Rhapsodies concert, always a delight, in the Clinton Center Great Hall. In Searcy, also at 7 the 24th, pianist Ryan Fogg, presented by Harding University's Lyceum Series in the Administration Auditorium. Then the Conway Symphony gives a free concert September the 27th at 7:30 in Simon Park, part of the annual Arts Festival. For much more of performing and visual arts events, visit our online calendar at ualrpublicradio.org. The Cassatt Quartet, established in 1985, is one of the most sought-after American quartets. Encouraged by the Juilliard Quartet, it served as the inaugural participant in the Juilliard's Young Artist Quartet program. Over the years, there have been a variety of changes. No longer the original four, but violinist Munica Otani joined in 1987, is still one of the violinists, joined by Jennifer Leschnauer violin, violist Sarah Adams, who also joined in 1987, but left to start a family, rejoining after a 19-year absence 5 years ago, with cellist Nicole Johnson making up the current four shortly thereafter. Their repertoire is all-embracing, and the four are particularly excited when working with contemporary composers. The four musicians come to Conway next month to give the world premiere performance of a work commissioned by the UCA College of Fine Arts and Communication, the residency program, inspired by Mary Cassatt paintings at the Crystal Bridges Museum of Art in Bentonville. The composer is Bruce Adolph, who will also be in Arkansas that weekend. Violist Sarah Adams is my guest and starts with their first thoughts on the new quartet they will be playing.
Quite an interesting piece. We meet with them on the 24th. Right now, we have the music. We've rehearsed some, and we're looking forward to meeting with him and hearing, you know, how much we're doing what he was hoping, what he heard in his head. And it's quite rhythmically complicated, and it sounds to me like he has two voices often come out, you know, Mary and her father. Mm-hmm. You can hear it could either be, I have an argument with the cellist right now, that the Mary's part is the violin part and the father is the bass, you know, the cello.
That would make sense.
But the ending of the first movement has this kind of disturbed, kind of upset-like feeling. To me, it sounds like somebody who just doesn't want to stay at home, just not you're not happy with it. So I don't know if it's completely programmatic like that, you know, where the cello has the dad voice. And quite beautiful. The second movement, we were thinking today, reminds us of Barber, Dover Beach. Sets up this undulating melody and then some just beautiful harmonies on top. And then the last movement, which is quite jazzy, and I'm assuming it's, you know, depicting when she was in Paris and what was going on at the time. It's really, it just sounds almost like a can-can dance at the very beginning. And then there's some really great, the cello plays a jazz bass under part staccato.
You with the viola, what do you have that stands out? Because the viola has such a lovely sound, and all too often it sort of harmonizes with the two violins and is in time and color almost with the cello on occasions, but not often does it get singled out for its own voice, and I love it when it does.
Well, I do too, actually.
I wonder why.
I studied with a violist who used to be Martha Katz of the Cleveland Quartet. Mm-hmm. She had a big sound, and you could always hear her, even if she was, you know, harmonizing, playing along with second violin. I really like that. And it seems to me the viola job is occasionally there's a solo. You're often a sister with the cello. You're frequently a partner with second violin, you know. But I feel like it gives the rhythmic stability often, viola, viola, and violin. But if there's not enough viola, you feel somewhat missing. Something's missing. So it's, you just need enough. And his music, I mean, a lot of it is supposed to give a certain color or the harmonies that the viola and cello are having, I guess, make it pretty unique to Bruce.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the stage that you're at right now. So obviously you're going to find many more reasons for the harmonies and dissonances and the story that it's telling of this young painter who was breaking a mold, really, because it sounds as though she brought up in a fairly affluent family with its own ideas of how the daughters of the house should behave, and that may account for the discussion, as you say, in the first movement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, she's an interesting character because you always assume she was such a sweet person because she's painting the women and, you know, children, and the scenes are idyllic. But apparently she wasn't that nice person. She wasn't easy to get along with at all. Very interesting.
She may have had inner yearnings that came out in her paintings.
Yes, yeah. And actually when I had my twins, St. Vincent's, there were Mary Cassatt pictures all over the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
So I, having just left the quartet, was like a totally bittersweet. Oh, my gosh.
So how old are the twins now, if you have a son of seven?
My twins are 22. So I started playing again with the quartet about, I would say 3.5 years ago. So mm-hmm. After their violist had to return to Japan.
Are they musicians?
Yes, they are. One's jazz musician, jazz drummer. The other one is songwriter, guitar, plays just about whatever you need.
And what about the seven-year-old?
My seven-year-old, it's hard for me to know. He does love music, but I think right now he's into Legos and Hero Factory toys and building.
Well, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I have two daughters, though, and they're also musicians. One's a harpist, one's a violinist and singer.
So you're keeping up the tradition and filling the ranks, which is great.
Yeah.
When you got the request to do this, was it after they had already made the arrangements with Bruce?
When I got the request to...
When the quartet was asked to come and play this piece, it had been commissioned. I never know when somebody commissions something, whether they commission the musician or musicians that are going to play it at the same time, because that would seem to me the logical progression with the people at UCA, that Cassatt Quartet for this particular series of movements and ideas with the composer commissioned to write a work based on the life of Mary Cassatt. Yeah. There must have been some plan to involve you at the same time as the composer, I would think.
You know, it's a good question, and I don't know the actual chain of events. I think Bruce works at Manus, mm-hmm. He's at Manus, and we know him, and I'm not sure whether this was the quartet reached out to him, and then I believe the residency was something that the quartet was trying to work out with Arkansas.
See.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. There could have been another, you know, that one I'm not sure about the answer.
Now, when we talked briefly on a previous occasion, I asked you about the programming other than the Cassatt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you weren't quite sure. You said there was possibly a Ravel piece?
Well, now, which night are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about both, actually, but mainly the first night, the premiere of the new work. And that would be at the University of Central Arkansas, where your residency is based.
Right.
And then I thought after that we could just touch on the fact that you'll be playing something different when you go up to Crystal Bridges.
Yes, okay. So the concert for on Thursday night at University of Central Arkansas is Shostakovich 8th String Quartet, then the Bruce Adolph, then we'll be playing Peter Lewin's Triple Quartet with the students.
Now, that Shostakovich is the one that's being reviewed that you sent me the review of.
Right, right.
Was that planned for this build-up to 9/11?
No. No, wasn't, although, you know, now that you mention it, I mean, it's certainly a serious enough work that it's kind of a devastating work. I think maybe more devastating when you're listening than when you're playing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But no, it wasn't. To tell you the truth, We thought, okay, here comes the concert. It didn't even occur to me 9/11 was coming 2 days
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.
Some years I play on the 9/11 memorial, but this
yes.
year I didn't.
Yes.
And we're also playing Dvorak American Quartet on that concert also, the October 3rd concert.
Ah, okay. Now, getting back to the four of you, you lead such busy lives. You have difficulty getting from one place to another, as all of you must, because you're based officially in Manhattan.
That's right, yeah.
And you teach, you go residencies, you read the things that you're doing, and it amazes me that you can even get together to rehearse or plan or do what ensembles do.
We actually spend quite a lot of time rehearsing. Well, I think our schedule is pretty busy. Each one of us has to earn
yeah.
money, not only as a
teacher and everything
yeah,
else.
Teacher, right, yeah. right, right.
So that's what you're going to be doing with the university, and I gather that the students are being organized so that the residency while you're there can be very profitable to them. And I
yes.
was very interested to find out how you react, because as I said earlier, on another conversation, that I'm impressed with the quality of the music department at the University of Central Arkansas. They have some superb musicians as teachers there. And our youth orchestra is a very fine one. And a lot of the different instruments are teachers are at UCA.
Oh, fantastic. Well, mm-hmm. that's so great to walk into a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
The triple quartet, Peter Lewin's quartet, is quite beautiful. The triple quartet, so we'll be playing with the students on that.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful experience for the students, too.
Yeah, but if they're so good, it'll be real quick to put together, and should be a wonderful addition to the concert.
That's the couple of days you'll be there. Then you go up to Bentonville for the Crystal Bridges concert, and
right.
you are dropping one and adding another, or just adding to what you've been playing in Conway?
Well, we'll see, and then that night we'll play Shostakovich 8 and the Bruce Adolf and then the Ravel String Quartet.
Residencies take a lot more out of you than people really realize, I think, because you've got the concert you're going to be playing, and you're going to be playing two of these
yes.
within the framework of the residency, that you've got to switch concentrations and work with the students in a way that everybody will profit. You and the students and the people who brought you in, that your residency will be working with the students, but relative to what you will be playing, for them best to interpret and to understand what it is that you have been achieving. And then you'll go up to a totally different audience in a different atmosphere.
We're actually playing also at Garvin Gardens. Well, I think, you know, when you go on a residency, I mean, the students are so exciting. The teaching is so exciting that I think it kind of helps you know something more about the community. There's no way you would know it if you didn't go in and teach
right.
and meet them and see how they're being taught and meet their teachers and, you know, get a feeling for the whole attitude of the place. I mean, there's no other way to know.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you come in and play a concert and then go out. When do you get to meet the community?
Yes.
You know what? So I think the teaching is actually... It's a wonderful way for us to know who you are, who the community is, and we're really, really looking forward to that.
Sarah Adams is violist with the Cassatt Quartet. She, with violinists Monica Ottani and Jennifer Leschnauer, and cellist Nicole Johnson, will give the world premiere of Mary Cassatt, Scenes from Her Life by Bruce Adolf. Inspired by Cassatt paintings at Crystal Bridges Museum of Art in Bentonville and commissioned by the UCA College of Fine Arts and Communication Residency Program. Over the 2 days the quartet will be on campus, they will work with the students and will perform 7:30 October the 3rd in UCA's Reynolds Performance Hall, repeating the program at 6:30 October the 4th in the Great Hall Crystal Bridges Museum of Art in Bentonville. For more information, call 501-450-3293. And that concludes this week's program. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR's College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio.